How cool was it to hear French and Armenian at the same time as English? Next year, let's get French, Armenian, Spanish, Russian. Let's get them all. But that was sublime. Thank y'all for helping us get a taste of what was experienced on the Feast of Pentecost. If you notice in Acts, there are all sorts of languages mentioned, but only 12 apostles, which meant the Holy Spirit was doing double duty sometimes. But that's how it is. But going from first century Palestine all the way to 1988 in San Dimas, California, two Californian wannabe rock stars traveled back in time in search for Socrates, that fountain of ancient Greek wisdom. And watching him teach his pupils, our fearless heroes, Bill and Ted, consulted their textbook for information. The only true wisdom consists of knowing you know nothing. The only true wisdom consists of knowing you know nothing. An actual quote from Socrates. And looking puzzled, Bill finally comes to a realization. And turning to his most excellent companion, he says with pure delight, "That's us, dude. That's us." The sudden recognition that they know nothing, which means therefore they know everything. I mean, if you haven't seen it, Bill and Ted's excellent adventure is a triumph on every level. But this one exchange stands out to me because it represents the kind of true and honest self-assessment that I wish everybody in the world would engage in, myself included. With such delight, Bill and Ted admit their ignorance about, well, just about everything. And it's unfortunate that they are confined to celluloid, because those two dudes would be really good teachers for people like us in the modern world who have come to so deeply believe that they have or can find all the answers to everything. As a people, we really love certainty. We love reason. We love the stories from the past that chart our future. We love to solve problems, and I think we even love to create problems just so we can solve them. Putting our minds to work, plumbing the depths of the universe, we used to look up at the sky and say, "Such a beautiful mystery." Now we look into the sky and say, "How can I conquer all that my eyes can see?" Socrates, Bill and Ted, they were on to something, though, about true wisdom being an admission of our ignorance. That's embedded in our tradition as well, our religious tradition. St. Paul, in his own way, said something similar. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." Weakness and fragility, inadequacy, the words Paul uses, those aren't words that are meant to convince us of our unworthiness or our baseness, as if we, being human, are just too pathetic to grasp anything of God. That is not what Paul is saying. It's the recognition that, well, there are going to be some places when we come up short in an attempt to grasp the fullness of God. We don't know everything, and we can't know everything, especially when it comes to the mysteries of God. The truth is, any God that can be fully known is, in fact, no God at all. You see, we crave the totality of truth. We want everything to be certain and understandable, but there's a danger in that kind of craving. Because if we put our trust in any system or institution or idea of God that claims to put all our uncertainty and unknowing at ease, then all we would be left with is an idol to be studied, rather than the active and flowing and unbound and unconquered God attested to by Jesus Christ. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Just a few days before Jesus was to die, he delivered that message to his friends. These are the ones who had walked with him and had lived with him and studied him and sat at his feet. They heard lessons that our scriptures cannot contain. They were as intimate with him as possible, swapping stories, sharing meals, telling jokes, his most trusted companions. They should have known as much as one could know about him, and even they were not able to bear the fullness of his truth. There was far more about God and the world than they could ever dream of comprehending. And later, when they were locked away in an upper room, he shows up again. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he had said this. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Locked away. There they were, locked away, shackled up, bound by fear, locked away because they had no vision and no purpose. They believed their story had come to an end. Their master, their Lord, their God was dead. They believed God's story had come to an end because their Messiah had died. But then he stood before them, somehow invading locked doors, somehow invading their spaces, coming to them and giving them a power that changes the universe. He found them. He sought them out. He bound up their wounds and he gave them what they needed most in that moment, peace, even though they didn't have all the answers to their bubbling up questions. He was supposed to be dead. He was supposed to be dead in the tomb. They were supposed to be going back to the lives they once lived, to the torn nets, to the baited hooks, to the salt air, to the things that were comfortable. But he stood before them. And he breathed on them. And from the depths of his being, he gave them his very breath, his very life. He gave them the very same animating spirit of the universe. Everything was supposed to go back to the way it used to be. But something happened. And he gave them power to heal and to loose sins. He gave them the power that they needed to keep moving forward. But my God, somehow there was even more to come. And I, for the life of me, can't imagine that they were prepared for the newness and freshness of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. That's never happened to me. I doubt it's happened to you, but that doesn't change the fact the same spirit that invaded their space invades us now. Because they too were waiting and praying in a room. They too, like us, were trusting that some promised revelation would come from the God that we've come to worship. And for them, it did. It opened their minds and their hearts to a reality that they had never experienced. And the implications there, they're mind-blowing. Though they had lived for 3 years with Jesus, they still had so much to learn about God. And there was more light and more truth for the entire world to experience. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This revelation of God, of the Spirit, it wasn't just for the cloistered, ordained elite. It wasn't for people who wear robes like this. It was for you, for the whole of creation, for everything with breath in its lungs. Everyone was invited to share in this fresh wind of the Spirit, going out like a tidal wave over the face of the earth. And here we are. Here we are 2 millennia later, inheritors of everything that happened on that day of Pentecost. Those words of Jesus, this newness of the Spirit, these things aren't just for them back then. They're not just to be trapped in the past for us to gaze at and hope that one day we might get a fraction of what they had. No, This energy, this power, is for us, for all of us here who are sitting and waiting, wondering when we're going to understand more of the unfolding revelation of God. It's for those of us in this place who are struggling to find peace. It's for those of us in this place who are struggling to feel loved and worthy. Here we are, waiting. Waiting for the same one that they waited for. It still remains the same that we cannot bear the fullness of God's truth, and yet we trust with a certain kind of openness that Jesus is indeed speaking to us now. Through song, through scripture, through sacrament, through the faces of the people on our left and right, through the sounds of the little ones among us, everything right now speaks to us with the voice of Jesus Christ. Will you listen? Here now, in this moment, waiting for the Holy Spirit to fall like a tidal wave, waiting to experience freshness, a future. A future that, yes, is full of uncertainty, but one that we can trust is full of goodness. Today we have come to surround this altar to pray to a God who we do not fully know and cannot fully know, and we thank God for that. We come to a place where we are fed with peace and love incarnate. We've come to an altar today to be filled with the power to change the universe. And I know I say that a lot, but I mean it. You have the power within you to change the entire universe. So with Bill and Ted and with all of creation right now, we take delight in knowing that we know nothing and that the Spirit is making a way for us in ways that we cannot understand. Right now, we, like the disciples, just simply breathe in the Spirit of God and know that wonderful, truly wonderful things are in store for this place and this community. And we go out faithfully like Peter preaching at Pentecost, trusting that how we preach and what we say will be transmitted to the very ones who need to hear it so that they too can come here and be fed at that altar. Amen.